NDC drops explosive secret recording on which Attorney General is heard in conversation with third accused person in ambulance trial, asking him to purportedly help him make his case.
You are not privy to this one, I'm telling you.
In my view, if we agree to this theory, mm-hmm. it's so simple, the theory of the case.
Not but agree to the way you want to go, the way you want to go about it.
You let's describe it that way.
Please speaking, fine. As you are saying, if I agree to your position, how you want to go about it and how you want me to go about my answering questions and things, I'll be dishonest. I'll be assisting for someone I know is completely innocent about this. For example, Atu Forson, to be jailed.
The NDC has also been displaying secret WhatsApp messages between your Attorney General and the third accused, which they say does not back the claim that this was part of a grand scheme, including a sitting Supreme Court judge, to entrap the Attorney General.
This is Top Story with Evans Mensah.
And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel. And indeed, it's been an explosive day of secret recordings being played. And the NDC had promised last week that indeed they were going to put out a secret recording, which they believe really exposed an attempt by the Attorney General to lead a particular witness in the case, a man that you're trying, your third accused in the ambulance case, to give incriminating evidence that has been falsified against a minority leader, Kaysela Tofosin. Again, today, the NDC National Chairman, John Cecilia Nketiah, himself addressed a news conference and played that secret tape. My colleague is in the studio with me, Kweku Asante. I'm also joined in the studio by Kojo Braze, because this matter is a very fluid developing story. The MPP is also just about addressing a news conference. There's a fair bit we learned today, including WhatsApp messages that the NDC produced today that confirmed indeed that the Attorney General initiated the conversation for the meetings to be had between himself and Richard Jackman, the third accused in this particular case, and had in one of the instances recommended where the meeting should take place. We've seen and heard the accusations that there may have been an ambush involved in this case, where the Attorney General did not know about these meetings but had been called, and a surprise was sprung on him involving a sitting Supreme Court judge. Now, we'll read those WhatsApp messages for you so you can make up your own minds about this. But Kweku Asante just returned from that particular press conference and he joins me now. And at the heart of this case, part of what you've covered in court, is the letters of credit that the AG had been referring to. That some payments were made even when they shouldn't have been made in the clearing of these ambulances. As it turns out today in the recording, this became a subject of a heated exchange between the Attorney General and the third accused. Who is the third accused, by the way?
That is Richie Jakpa. He owned Jakpa Business, the company that made a proposal to the health ministry and was accepted to supply some ambulances. And Evans, like you said, the entire case against the minority leader is built upon the execution of a letters of credit, and he signed that letter authorizing the release of those letters of credit. It came to light in this tape that the NDC put out today that the Attorney General and Richard Jakpa had really difference in opinion as to how LCs worked. And so in the tape that the NDC have published, which we are going to play to you, the NDC have put out, and you can clearly see Richard Jakpa trying to explain to the Attorney General how LCs work so that they can come to the same page. Although, in later tapes, you would hear the Attorney General ask Richard Jakpa to take another stance that he believes would have made his case for him. But listen to this.
The financial instrument for the project is an irrevocable letter of credit. So, letter has already been sent.
But in my view, that letter of credit area, the contract requires that you pay by letter of credit, not so.
Yes, in addition, you should establish it upon the front of the contract. So already you have paid.
Upon the signing of the contract for every 50 ambulance.
Yes. Upon the signing of the contract for every 50 ambulance, since there was no advance mobilization, advance payment, that LC was a security that you have to establish ahead.
No problem. It's not the contract for every 50 ambulance. It is the contract for the contract of every 50 ambulance.
Pardon?
It is the contract for. I'm saying upon the signing of the contract for every 50 ambulance.
Yes.
It is the contract for the every 50 ambulance.
If the contract is for 200 ambulances in tranches of 50, 50, 50.
Good, hold on. So that contract for 50 ambulances is different from this one?
No. It is, the contract is one contract for 200 ambulances, which has been broken down within the contract for every few, you establish LC for every 50 tranche. So you have four LCs for the 200 ambulances.
No, that part, I disagree with you. But if you look at the terms of the contract, it's quite clear. And it should not be difficult for you to accept, because really it doesn't put you in any problem. That does not put you into any difficulty. And you know the Minister of Health, you know the Minister of Finance. So for me, if you accept that, then it doesn't put
the problem I have in accepting that for you,
yes.
for you is that in their letters that confirm that, both from government and from the principal, that is for every 50 ambulances. That confirms
that.
And I'll be tendering those letters in. So I cannot go against what the letters say and the contract say, because I was the agent at that time. Japan Business was the agent.
And then the most explosive part, Kweku.
Yes. It gets to the point where the Attorney General is asking Richard Japa to accept his version of story. And he says again, like you heard in this tape, that will not pose any challenge to you if you make that admission in open court. And so he presses on Japa to accept those versions of the story. And then Japa then comes in and says that I cannot do that, because if I do that, that will incriminate someone I know is innocent.
The goose was shipped.
No.
The goose got together.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't have. Oh, yeah. The supplier, there is no way under the sun he could have cashed the LC before the shipping document, which were conditioned precedent, was presented to Ghana International Bank. Even when he presented the document to Ghana International Bank, Ghana International Bank refused to honor the LC, raising issues of discrepancy, which came back to Bank of Ghana, which later went to the Ministry of Health, and then Animana authorized Bank of Ghana through Ministry of Finance to pay, because they had sorted out the discrepancies with Big C. That time, around this time, the ambulances had already arrived in Ghana. You are not privy to this I'm telling you.
In my view, if we agree to this theory, it's so simple. The theory of the case.
Not but agree to the way you want to go. The way you want to go about it.
So, let's describe it that way. Do you want to go about it?
Okay,
if you agree to this way, for me, it makes it simple.
Yes, it will make but it fine.
It doesn't involve any difficulty for you.
Yes, I agree. I understand your point.
That it doesn't. When you say there's no advancement, yes. When you say there's no advancement, ordinarily meaning in Ghana that you don't pay until you get your goods. Now the contract here, even the clear terms, unless maybe you guys did not draft the contract, it says LCs on site of goods shall be established upon the signing of the contract for every future.
No, the contract was drafted by government. It was done by government.
And
AG department perused the contract and approved the contract for government.
It is not a problem. We had the approval. Every contract is actually approved. Before later on when they implement it, then problems.
The difficulty I have with your position is that, you see, frankly speaking, fine, as you are saying, if I agree to your position, how you want to go about it and how you want me to go about my answering questions and things. If I go by that way, frankly speaking, I'll be dishonest, because I know that is not how it's supposed to be. And I'll be dishonest in such a way that I'll be assisting for someone I know is completely innocent about this. For example, Atu Forson, to be jailed because I knew something was wrong, was not the way, and I decided to keep quiet and to answer the question in a way that will make your case better for you to jail him. I'll be battling with my conscience. That is the problem I'm having. Anytime you bring up this, That is my problem I'm having. Because me, for example, I am in this case because I'm innocent and I'm going through ordeal. So I'm looking at another person also going to go through ordeal, and through me, because I know the truth and I decide not to say it because I want to help the AG make his case. And I ask myself, what is my interest in it?
I'm not asking you to really help me. I'm just going by it. Anyway, so that's fine. So this one was even just by the way.
I hope you get my difficulty.
It's on the phone. I don't even know that.
Oh, no. No. Don't worry.
Discover accumulators.
My issue, I'm just
recording or somebody's recording.
You and I will be meeting. You'll be meeting me at my cousin's place. And you've been bringing this issue up several times. And I keep telling you that I can't do that because it doesn't sit well with me.
Look at the terms of contract. The terms of contract are simple. It is on site that established upon the side of the contract for every time with us.
Yeah.
You answer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's for and every. So when you see that here, for every 50 ambulance, means that it's not only the 50.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
For every. It means that it is not only 50.
All right.
Mean that there are a lot of 50s that will be following. So that is what I was trying to explain to you. So frankly speaking, the LC that was established was as a security for the supplier to invest his own money.
Now, there was also a part that we learned about an excuse duty. Mm. The AG was traveling and like couldn't quite understand that. At a press conference, there was some explanation as to what was happening. AG was traveling and he wanted Jakpa to assist him in court.
Yeah. So Richard Jakpa has opened his case in court, and if you know Justice Ifeanyi Ssewasari Botchwey, she likes to stick to timelines. She wants to do this. In fact, there was one day I was in court when Atufosin opened his court. He asked Eduji Tamakulu to do cross-examination of the finance minister in 30 minutes. And so the AG asks Richard Jakpa to do the cross-examination in such a way that it will either last a longer period so that when he returns from his official trip, he can come back and meet the trip. Then the gentleman says, I'll do something of that sort. And then the AG comes in and says, oh, you can even bring an excuse duty. Then the AG says, okay. Then Jakpa tells the AG, you can go ahead and bring the excuse duty. Then the AG says, no. I'm not going to bring the excuse duty. I'm asking you to just get some excuse duty. Maybe you are sick or something so that we can bring it in court. And then ultimately, the judge will allow that. Oh, then let's expand because of today you are not here because you are sick and all that. Then Jakpa comes in and says, oh, I cannot do that. Oh, the last time I was not in court, even the judge issued an arrest warrant. I don't want to get in trouble with this judge again. And so the AG goes on and on, trying to impress on Richard Jakpa to get him to create some medical excuse, to create some medical emergency so that he will not be available at the time so that he can actually expand his cross-examination and evidence in chief at the point that AG would have returned from his trip and come and meet the examination.
The reason why I call that is that that's my timetable for the rest of the
That means that you are not going to be around.
So, and then even next week, all of next week, I'll not be around. There's a way of you not even finishing next week. I would appreciate
it. I'll not finish next week. I don't think I'll be able to finish because the documents are many. So you will surely go and come and meet me.
Okay.
But that will also depend upon the judge's behavior.
I can bring one medical excuse next week.
Okay. Okay, fine. If you bring a medical excuse next week.
I said you. Can I bring a medical excuse?
No, you are saying that I should bring a medical excuse next week.
You can if you want.
But brother, you want this woman to issue bench warrant for me again?
Anyway.
Because you can see that I was really in admission, struggling for my life, and she issued bench warrant for me to be arrested, and my name was put everywhere. Now, if I go and do another one, as you are saying, my brother, this woman will issue another bench warrant for me and destroy the little of my reputation left. she will destroy it.
All right.
But you will surely go and come and meet me still talking. So don't worry.
No problem. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, my brother.
So that's the exchange there on phone between the Attorney General and Richard Jakpa. As it relates to this excuse duty. And the NDC's view on this is that the AG was asking him to fabricate a document and place it before the court to tell the court that indeed he was not well, when indeed he was perfectly fine. We'll hear from the NDC pretty shortly. Now, since this broke, yes, we've also heard about a sitting Supreme Court judge, and the narrative from the NPP had been that the Attorney General was entrapped, that he was ambushed, and that he had he didn't initiate this conversation, and that he was called into a meeting, and this was some conspiracy between Jagba and the Supreme Court judge. The NDC also today produced WhatsApp messages that appear to suggest that the Attorney General initiated these conversations and actually even suggested the venue.
Yes, on 16 February 2022, Jagba sends a message to Godfrey Damian per the screenshot that I've been put out. I am humbly requesting for a time and venue at your convenience to meet you for a private discussion, please. I'm most grateful for that kind gesture from you. Hope to hear favorably from you. This is the lawyer Jagba writing on WhatsApp to the Attorney General. The Attorney General then responds and says that I will arrange through your brother. Thanks. So this goes on to actually counter the point that I've been made.
And arranged through your brother apparently refers to this
sitting Supreme Court judge that has not really been named in all that is going to express, except that some persons in the MPP quarters have mentioned the name, but we were unable to pull that name out. So this is what from this WhatsApp message that Godfrey Damian sends, this is Godfrey Damian saying that I will arrange for this meeting through your brother. And so I'll do that arrangement and then get back to you.
And this was based on the request, at least on the face of that WhatsApp message. And then he also produced another WhatsApp message that also showed a separate WhatsApp call.
Yes.
That it appears to have been initiated by the Attorney General. That lasted for 26 minutes.
Yes, that is Tuesday, 9th April. That is just around the time that this recording that we have been able to play was recorded. And again, it was around the time that Jagba was opening up his case in court, being cross-examined by lawyers on all sides. And so the Attorney General calls Richard Jagba. They speak for 26 minutes from the WhatsApp call that is evidence on the screenshot that Richard Jagba or the NDC have been able to source and have been able to publish. 26 minutes. The call ends. That is very early in the morning at 7:12 a.m. Richard Jagba and the AG has a 26-minute call. And then at 8:16 a.m., there's another call from Jagba that lasts just 2 minutes. So on that morning, they have an almost 30 minutes call on both sides. And the NDC says they have more tapes that they can put out, and that this is further evidence that on that morning, the AG was trying to coach Richard Jagba on how to answer questions and how to offer his testimony in a way that will incriminate the minority.
Listen to the national chairman of the NDC, John Sisulu, addressing these WhatsApp messages as it relates to the allegations of entrapment that the NPP had put out.
In sharp contrast to his earlier claim that he has never met any of the accused persons, the Attorney General now claims that he has actually contacted and met the third accused, Richard Jagba, but that he met him only once at the residence of a Supreme Court judge, and that this meeting was not at his behest, but rather at the behest of a sitting Supreme Court judge who entrapped him. He now wants to extend the lie to a Supreme Court judge. Ladies and gentlemen, all these claims by the Attorney General through his spokesperson are lies, and we have evidence to prove so. In addition to the voice recordings, we have other evidence by way of screenshots of chats on WhatsApp between Godfrey Damian and Mr. Jagba, which further prove that the Attorney General contacted and represented a person without recourse to the represented person's lawyer. The charts further show that it was Godfrey Damian, who chose to meet Richard Jagba at the house of the Supreme Court judge, and not the Supreme Court judge who invited them. The first one. 16 February 2022, from Richard Jagba. I'm humbly requesting for a time and venue at your convenience to meet you for a private discussion, please. Then, I'm most grateful for that kind gesture from you. Then hope to hear favorably from you. This is all from Richard Japa. Then you come down here. That is from Godfrey Dame. I will arrange through your brother. Thanks. That brother is the Supreme Court judge. So Godfrey Dame says he will arrange through the Supreme Court judge for them to meet. So the Supreme Court judge has not requested for any meeting in his house. It's Godfrey Dame who arranged the meeting. Then he said, okay. The charts show it was Godfrey Dame who chose to meet Richard Japa at the house of the Supreme Court judge. As you can see from this screen, this is a WhatsApp chat dated 16 February 2022, in which Godfrey Dame undertakes to arrange a meeting with Mr. Japa through his brother, actually his cousin, the Supreme Court judge, through a WhatsApp message sent at 7:32 p.m. This evidence totally belies Dame's contrived and ridiculous claim that he was entrapped. So he was not entrapped. He planned to use the Supreme Court judge to call the witness for whatever they wanted to set up.
Well, joining me in the studio now is the National Communications Officer of the NDC. Shortly, I'll be taking you to the MPP's own press conference. It's been addressed by their Director of Legal, Frank Davis. I'll bring that to you live. If you want to stay with us for that. Also joining me, Professor Kujapi Jutia. He's Associate Professor, School of Law, University of Ghana. But it's to you, Sami, that I turn to next on this matter. You today have put out the evidence that you believe you have, the secret recording, the WhatsApp messages. So what do you want now?
Demanding the immediate and unconditional resignation or dismissal of Godfrey Diabo Adame from his current position as Attorney General and Minister of Justice. And that is because he has proven to be unfit for that high and hallowed office. He lacks the integrity and the character that such an important office requires. You know that the entire prosecutorial powers of the state is vested in one person, the Attorney General and Minister of Justice, under Article 88 of the 1992 Constitution. And that is why the occupant of that office must be a person of integrity, a person who adheres to the ethics of the legal profession and who respects the right of accused persons to be presumed innocent on the proving guilty. Godfrey Dame, per the evidence we have put out, is a scheming, devious character who goes about manipulating the judicial process to secure wrongful convictions at all costs. And this person cannot be our Attorney General. So his immediate and unconditional resignation or dismissal is what we're asking for. And should the president refuse to do so, we are calling on Parliament to launch a publicly televised inquiry into this process, into these matters, with a view of censuring the Attorney General, because if the President will not remove him, Parliament has powers under the Constitution to censure and remove him from office. And we want that probe to be televised so that everyone can see and know the truth for themselves. Number three, we are also calling for disciplinary proceedings to be instituted by the General Legal Counsel against Godfrey Diabo Adame, because these are issues that obviously should come to the attention, and if they require a petition to trigger that, we are ready to do that to ensure that he goes through the same disciplinary proceedings that lawyers who breach the professional etiquette, you know, that governs the legal profession, because clearly he has engaged in communication with a represented party on the blind side of his lawyer that breaches Rule 13.
But they've made the point that at the time these conversations happened, he wasn't represented.
Well, you have seen incontrovertible evidence to the contrary, that the AG first engaged this third accused person on the 16th of February 2022. Yes, at the time he had just been granted bail, right? Now, by the 17th of July, 2022, that was when the AG first met him and asked him to share with him documents. We've shared with you the WhatsApp screenshots, and he forwarded the documents to him. As at that time, Mr. Jagpa was represented by a lawyer, Kosa. The audio recording we have played to you was recorded on the 9th of April, 2024, just about a month ago, at about 7:12 a.m. You can see that from the WhatsApp screenshots. And at the time, Jagpa was represented by Mr. Tadio Sori. So they claim that the AG has been speaking directly with accused person because he was not represented is palpably false, and the evidence says so. Aside that, a lawyer is not supposed to tell a witness to lie to a court. That breaches Rule 54. Clearly, you hear Godfrey Dame telling a witness before the court to deceive the court by forging a fake medical excuse duty. No, that is conduct unbecoming of a lawyer. No person who has a scintilla of honor or integrity would do such a despicable act, which, by the way, per Section 213 and 214 of the Criminal and Other Offenses Act, constitutes crime, perjury, what we call fabrication of evidence, which is perjury, a second-degree felony.
Sammy, stay with
and
me.
So, yeah.
Let's see if Professor Kwejo Pijutia, is Associate Professor, School of Law at the University of Ghana, agrees with you, because he's also listened in on the secret recording that has been played. Prof, thanks for your time. Your reaction, having listened to the secret tape that the NDC promised, as they will play last week, they have played it now.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Unfortunately, the recordings reveal a very bad side of the Attorney General, and but it's not just about the Attorney General, it's about the office of the Attorney General, which is the high office, the sole office devoted to the criminal justice system, protecting the integrity of the criminal justice system. So it is a law that the Attorney General has recorded as a result of the release of this audio, which clearly shows that he has compromised his position. And it's a very bad example that has been set, which is going to go into the history of the criminal justice system in the country. So it is very important that immediately he purges himself of this behavior, which is unprofessional and unethical, so that some integrity can be restored immediately to that office.
From what you heard, what is unethical about what we just heard?
Yeah, he's trying to compromise the defendant or accused person to tell some lies or to fabricate a story in such a way that it would corner and nail the first accused person and make him bad and find him, for the court to find him culpable. And I think that is against the ethics of the profession. And so he should be in a better position to have known that. And it's also interesting on the tape that he sensed that what he was doing was not right. That's why he's saying, I hope I've not been recorded. So he knew what he was doing was wrong. And something has to be done about it to ensure that this is not continued.
Is it only a case of an ethical breach, or, as the NDC has suggested, a crime may also have been committed there?
A crime is also committed. Yes, perjury. Perjury, the truth is trying to force somebody to compromise the truth, and that certainly is perjury. It didn't only end there with regard to the issue of fabricating the story, but also even asking the third defendant to forge some papers to send to the court so that he will not be available to come to court on a particular day. That is also wrong. It's certainly wrong. It's in a bad taste.
So what happens now? What's the remedy? Just for the matter to be picked up by the General Legal Counsel, the NDC says the Parliament should also look into it. What's your own suggestion on this matter as to how you proceed?
Honorable thing is for the Attorney General to resign and to make a public apology to Ghanaians that what he did was wrong. He has realized it's wrong and he's apologizing. If that doesn't come forth, the President should dismiss him from the office, should leave him of his position, so that the integrity of that office can be preserved. At least that image, the tainted image.
So you want to ask me about that?
Corrected in some way or the other. Sorry.
Please proceed.
So and if the president doesn't go forth to releasing of his position, then there are other steps. Parliament, for example, can come in and institute a probe into this whole matter. A commission of inquiry can also be established. The matter can even be reported to SRAS. So these avenues are available, which certainly needs to be pursued in case these first two steps that I suggested are not complied with from the AG himself or from the president.
And Prof, thank you very much. That's Professor Akwejo Opediatia, Associate Professor, School of Law, University of Ghana, expressing his thoughts on the secret recording that has just been put out by the NDC. Now, just as we've been speaking, the MPP press conference just got underway. Addressing that press conference is the Director of Legal for the party, MFA Powers, here. Top headlines coming from there.
So they have a pushback accusing the party, that's the NDC, of bastardizing the judiciary, and is also desperately shielding the minority leader from taking responsibility for his role in causing financial loss to the state. Frank Davis is currently addressing the media.
Directed the Controller and Accountant General to pay the sums of 806,688 Ghana cedis 75 pesos, representing bank charges covering the establishment of letters of credit for the supply of 50 ambulances, and further directed for the amount to be charged against the capital expenditure vote for the Ministry of Health. Ladies and gentlemen, all these directives by first accused, KSL Atuforsen, were contrary to the agreement for the supply of the ambulances, as well as the parliamentary approval regarding the financing of the transaction. It is also important to note that Atuforsen's authorization of payment for the transaction was without any request from the Ministry of Health. In fact, the Ministry of Health had specifically asked Big C to stop producing the ambulances as there was no valid contract regarding the transaction. In spite of all that, Atuforsen, without cause and for reasons best known to himself, proceeded to authorize payment for the ambulances. Pursuant to the unlawful directives of first accused Atuforsen, Big C shipped 30 vehicles in 3 consignments between October 2014 and February 2015, which were fundamentally defective and lacking in the basic requirements for an ambulance. In short, they were not fit for purpose. This was confirmed by a letter written by the then Minister for Health, Dr. Alessebefia, and other assessments by the National Ambulance Service. In point of fact, Alessebefia, in the letter to Big C, described the ambulances as ordinary vans, to wit, trotro. Interestingly, this same himself, Alessebefia, was sitting with them in that press conference. These vehicles were never used and could not be used as ambulances during the whole tenure of the John Mahama administration. Following the change in government in 2017, investigations commenced and statements were taken from several people, including the incumbent Speaker of Parliament, Kingsford Bagbin, Mr. Kweku Ajiman Mensa, Madam Sherry Aite Diziz, and Dr. Alessebefia, all of whom were former health ministers, as well as